Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Excited because all of these guys have a place in Dad's life, in my life. They have all been spiritual fathers, so I'm excited to hear what they have to say. So please join me in welcoming Pastor Buck Schaefer.
What an honor. What an honor with so many great men of faith in the house. I'll do an intro and get out of the way. But honor to Pastor Bill and your family. What a picture. How many believe a picture of what Christ is? True matrimony, sacrament of marriage. Taylor said something to me. Dad cried. How many know that releases us to be able to cry a little in the house? Amen. Well, I just want to share something real quick. Pastor Bill has really influenced and impacted my life. He introduced me one time in a hotel room in the top floor. This is Pastor Buck, and he said something that hit me. He said his dad was like a first century Christian. And when I thought about that, I thought about what Pastor Mike and I were talking about on the way in here. I thought about your seed serving the Lord. I thought about the blessing on your life. You know, coming out of Easter, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Christ. So I start thinking that Christ got up on the third day so that we could walk in this blessing. We better know what that blessing is. And so I started thinking about it, and I told my church, I said, this thing is on you and in you. This thing is on you and in you, and God wants to make you a symbol and a source of blessing. And what he said to Abraham is, I will bless you. How many are blessed? Come on, how many are blessed? And I will make you. On the other side of that, I started thinking, God, make me a blessing. And when you speak about the blessing, I grew up in this city and I went to these Bible schools and ORU and all these places. Sometimes we attach that to a tangible thing that's just physical. And I started thinking about the generation of the upright shall be blessed. What's that really mean? And I just want to share this scripture with you. It's out of Psalms 112. The Lord really gave me a revelation of what this blessing looks like. And that's an enviable life that's visible to us. Listen to this. Passion Translation. Shout in celebration. Praise the Lord, everyone who loves the Lord and delights in him. We'll cherish his words and be blessed beyond expectation. The descendants will be prosperous and influential. Every generation of this godly lovers will experience his favor. Great blessing and wealth will fill his house of the wise. For their integrity endures forever. Even darkness, when it overtakes them, sunrise brilliance will come bursting through because they are gracious to others and tender and true. Life is good to the one who is generous and charitable, conducting affairs with honesty and truth. Their circumstances will never shake them. Others will never forget their example. They will not live in fear or dread of what may come, for their hearts are firm, ever secure in their faith. Steady, strong, they'll never be afraid. They will be calmly face every foe until they all go down in defeat. Never stingy, always generous to those in need. Their lives of influence and honor will never be forgotten, for they're full of good deeds. And I started thinking, this is the blessing that's on every one of you and on me and on every one of us. And when I think about this, I was thinking my young son, Judah, I watched him the other day. And his golf instructor, he's 13, he said, this kid's got it. And I said, man, I'm blessed. My son's got it. My daughter, Gloria, who came here almost a year ago to this internship, called me and said, Dad, I'm smack dab in the center of God's will at Guts Church in the internship. I'm so happy. How many know you can't replace that with $1 billion? Give yourself $1 million or your kids serving the Lord and marrying the right spouse. You can't buy that. I'm there the other night. It's cool. I'm excited about my youngest. I'm excited about my 16-year-old. He's pumped. He's running this little business. and he's got his license, and it comes in at 11:02. He was supposed to be in at 11. He walks in his mom and I's bedroom. I'm chilling out, trying to go to sleep. And he just walks around the bed and says, "Dad, I had a great night. I won my best friend Brady to Christ. I just prayed salvation with him a little bit ago." Come on, come on. Let me finish this up, man. I'm glad my seed's wealthy and prosperous. I'm glad my seed. But the Bible says they'll be mighty and influential in the earth. How many know when your spouse, when your son or daughter marries the right spouse, this perpetual blessing goes to the next generation? My father broke away from the curse in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and said God told us to move to Tulsa in the 70s. And he wants us to hear the word. And my father stood up in that Baptist church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he said, the day he got saved, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And how many know that word still echoes in my heart? That the curse is broken over my life, over your life, over his life, over my children's lives. And you know, that just gets me to realize this. His word is near me, even in my mouth. I want to challenge you before Pastor Mike comes. Get this thing that's in you and on you. Get it out of you. Get it on your lips. Get it in your mouth. This is the word of faith that we preach. He said, you got to confess something. You can't just come to revival and just sit back and say, "It's on me." You got to make a bold declaration. This blessing is all over me. Where I go, people get healed. Where I go, people get blessed. How many know we're blessed to be a blessing? And in Pittsburgh, we're seeing people come to Jesus. We're seeing the same revival that's happening right here. We're seeing miracles, signs, and wonders. And can I tell you, when you catch it, when you say, "Man, I'm blessed, I'm staggered not at the promise of God, but I'm growing strong in faith, giving glory to God," and you're fully persuaded, man, something happens. When you decree, "I'm blessed to be a blessing," but when you see it starting to happen on your kids, come on, man. "Your seed shall be mighty in the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed." I encourage you today, there's a blessing on you. There's a blessing in you. And God's made and is making you a symbol and a source. Get that in your heart. He's making you a symbol and a source of blessing. And God told us this in 2020, when everything came to a screeching halt. He said, "Stay in motion. Stay in motion. Church up the middle, yard by yard. Once, 2 yards, 3 yards, 10 yards. Church up the middle. Stay in motion." In 2021, he said, there's two words I'm going to give you, and it's acceleration and multiplication. Things are going to happen so quick, your head's going to spin. And he said, and I'm going to multiply everything you touch. And can I tell you, in a short time, in my wife's television ministry, in our new church buildings, God's just bringing miracles, millions of dollars of miracles. Buildings, $5 million buildings, $725,000. The guy said, "We got 10 more offers than you, but we feel you're supposed to have it." How many know? Come on, I'm telling you, when you get this on you, you really think, "I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Stuff is happening for me." You got to make it. Come on, Mike, get up here. We got a tag team. It gets, I'm, come on. Is he ready?
You're not in charge here. Calm down, you're not in charge.
I'm out of here. Hey, can you guys just say it? This is on me. Come on, say it's on me. Something happens when you really believe that and you really decree that. Everything around you. And I told my congregation, God is making you a symbol and a source of blessing. In this last day, it's getting darker, but the church is getting brighter. This blessing's on your life. God wants to show out, amen? And he wants you to have an enviable life.
Well done. I can't wait till the next time I'm in Pittsburgh, just mess up all your stuff. Let's give it up for Pastor Schaefer. Man, I don't know about you guys, but I'll receive that blessing. Okay, let's just keep it moving right along. From St. Louis family, Pastor Jeff Perry.
All right. I appreciate what Pastor Buck said about the stimulation into his children and children's children. And when I was called upon a few minutes ago to share with you, By the way, hi, everybody. It occurred to me that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth looking for people who are available, whose hearts are toward him. And he wants us to be catalysts. And in the scientific terminology for a catalyst, it's an entity that is available for a chemical reaction, although they don't actually experience it. So it's almost imperceptible sometimes what happens when a catalyst is present in a chemical reaction, where it takes something that's inert and makes something magnificent. And God's looking for people that are yielded. He's looking for people that are prepared. And I think about Pastor Bill. A few months ago, I got a box in from the Amazon, and it was on my porch, and I opened it up, and it was this cylindrical stainless steel fire pit. And I've already built bonfires. I live kind of out in the woods, so I've built bonfires on the grass. Have you ever built bonfires on the grass? I don't think it's legal, but I did it anyway. And then we got a cheap one at the store, and it was like a bowl, and it had a screen over the top. That was okay. And then we built one with bricks, but Pastor Bill found one that is superior. And it's by this company where these guys created all stainless steel. They started with a little miniature one for camping. And they got in this physics of it and science of it where they make it smokeless. And so it has an interior cylinder and then an exterior cylinder. It has holes underneath and a space so that it can draw and draft air up. And to make a long story short, you could put some combustible material in it, and it lights up, and it burns so efficiently. Have you ever sat at a fire, and you're the one where the smoke goes right up in your face, and then you move, and it goes right up in your face? Well, Pastor Bill found something that is efficient, it burns hot, and it's smokeless. And I think that's what's happened here with this revival. Pastor Bill mentioned something to me a few months ago. He said he just wanted to make guts ready in case God wanted to flick a match on it. And as a boy, as a Boy Scout, one of the first things I learned was to be prepared. Everybody say, be prepared. And one of the first things they taught me was how to build a fire. And that's where what do you do? First, you start with kindling, something really light and dry. Then you go to twigs, then you go to sticks, then you go to branches. Then eventually you get some split wood or whatever branches you find, and you can build it. If you do it correctly, it'll light, it'll stay lit, you'll get a good bed of coals, and it can endure. And I believe what the Lord wants to do here is that very thing. Bearing in mind, however, that when Elijah was in a moment not dissimilar to us, where things had gone crazy, the world was messed up. Buck just mentioned that it's dark and it's kind of strange right now. And yet light shines in a dark place. God commanded that light would shine in a dark place. And he made us earthen vessels that were carriers and containers of this. Well, it's a calling right now on our lives, I think, to be aware and to be ready. Everybody say instant. In season and out of season. Church life is mostly out of season. But then there are occasions where God puts it in a category where it's in season. And if you study history, there was a time where Ahab had this marriage to a lady named Jezebel, who was a worshiper of Baal, which was idolatry. And God called Elijah to confront this because God didn't want this blend where there was Baal worship involved with Jehovah worship. And so he got up on Mount Carmel, built a fire. He said, "Now you listen, let's get wood together. We'll put animal sacrifice on the top of it." And then he dug a trough around it, and he filled it up not with one, but two, but three buckets of water. And then he said, "Now we'll see whose God answers by fire." So he let the prophets of Baal, I think there were 400 of them, they prayed and they hooted and hollered all night. And nothing happened. And then as Elijah poured water on the fire, which I think is really awesome, because that's actually an extinguishing element. That it didn't say lighter fluid, it didn't say kerosene, it's or an accelerant. He actually poured water on it. Revival isn't accelerant. It isn't hooping and hollering hype. Revival comes from the presence of the Lord upon people that make themselves available. And God is doing that in this place, and God is doing that amongst you as a people. And that's why God bothered to create this church decades ago, and he's stabilized it, and he's made it durable. And yet God's raised up leadership that's adaptable and knows not to just rest on its laurels or try to redo the same old thing, or also not to just be addicted to novelty and try to whip something up in the flesh. You're in an interesting moment. God is, in fact, looking for people that he can pour out his spirit on. Isaiah, or Hebrews chapter 13 says, our God is a consuming fire. And everybody say, I'm on fire. Put your hands on your heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, Solomon exhorted us to guard or keep our hearts with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. That day when Elijah called fire down, it not only consumed the wood and lit up the sacrifice, but it also licked up all the water out of the trough. And I love the worship songs your band led us in today, that God, you're more than enough, so I'm enough. And your mercy, I'm forgiven, and I can't earn it, I don't deserve it. Your grace is on me. How many of you would say that's the case? And this Pastor Buck just shared about his son coming in and having led his friend to the Lord. Pastor Bill just pointed out a guy whose dad got healed and a keyboard player from the rock and roll days who's still playing after 22 years here at Guts. He's blown my eardrums out many times when I've been here. But I want you to put both hands on your heart now, because I pray God kindles afresh the gift that's in you. Be ready in season and out of season. Preach the word. Be bold. Take hold of what God's put in you in this hour. I think it's prophetic that Kennedy got married to Dawson and we're here the next day under the canopy of these wedding lights. And as Pastor Buck said, in this atmosphere of representation of Christ in the church, I believe this is a holy increment for all of us. I wouldn't want to be any other place. I'm so grateful. And God, I pray that there would be a kindling afresh, a heart on fire for Jesus. No gimmicks, no dysfunction, just a new beginning. Lift up your hand, one hand on your heart, one hand up toward heaven. God, we serve the God that sent fire down on Mount Carmel and purged that whole syncretism, idolatrous, crazy Baal thing. And in this hour of purging, purifying, and refining, the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. But those who have insight will understand. And Lord Jesus, thank you that we've been given the opportunity to live in this moment. Say this with me. This is the best time to be alive. I am grateful. I don't idealize the future. I have no regrets about the past. God is more than enough. And he is a consuming fire, and I am on fire. In Jesus' name, amen. That's what I've got for you.
I'll tell you what, I love Pastor Jeff. He's talking about building the fire, and he's talking about kindling and all the other things. And I'm from Bixby, where you just take a big old square hay bale, you douse it in diesel, and then it lights right up. So it's a little bit different, and solo stove, Dad's a big fan of. But it really is a great analogy for just life, that we get things set up. I'll tell you what, we've had two great guys, and I know this last one is going to come clean it up. So Pastor Mike Hayes.
Bless you guys. Great to see you today. Beautiful night last night. Honored to be here for the Shear family and for Kennedy's wedding, and it was awesome. Love you guys. Just have a brief word for you and about your pastor, for Pastor Bill. I hope that you all understand, and I know that leaders and good leaders certainly are never self-seeking or self-serving, and there's things that they will never say about themselves, but that still should be said. I hope that you're understanding of how fortunate you are to have the kind of committed house of leadership that you have. Jesus talked about one time where he looked at his people and saw them as sheep that had no shepherd. People with no leadership go nowhere fast. We're in a leadership need in this country from the highest levels to the lowest. Leadership lead. There's a strange analogous scripture passage in Judges chapter 9 that talks about a need for leadership, and it says that the trees looked for leadership and they went to the vine and said, "Would you be our leader?" And the vine said, "Shall I cease making my new wine and be your leader? Too busy." And it went to the olive tree and said, "Would you be our leader?" And the olive tree said, "Should we stop growing olives and be your leader? Too busy." And so it went to the thorn bush and said, "Would you be our leader?" And the thorn bush said, "I will. You can rest in my shade. And if you don't obey what I say, I'll burn you and the cedars of Lebanon." What that passage is about is that if good people won't lead, there's always thorn bush leadership willing to step up and take advantage of needy people. That's why the kingdom of God has got to lead in this hour. We're suffering in our nation as a result of thorn bush leadership. Good people too busy to serve, so we get the leftover and the wannabes and the cruel and the criminal. I want to share a word with you today just briefly about the ministry of an apostle. Your pastor, Pastor Bill, is an emerging apostle. We're moving into an apostle's age. The Bible says in the church there are apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers. Now, this is my contention, and I may be wrong, but I'm always convinced that it's okay that I'm right. I think that most pastors are called to be apostles, but the political, hierarchical, denominational system didn't make allowance for where or what to do with an apostle, so hence we have apostles who are still pastoring at 80 years old because they have to sing for their supper because there's nowhere for them to go and lead at a higher level over the battlefield. So you start among the sheep, and a pastoring job is a young man's job. And an apostle, there is no such thing as a 20-year-old apostle. Apostles are seasoned men that have been on the battlefield a long time. And so the Bible says that in the last day, we would come to a time where the spirit of Elijah would come and the hearts of the fathers would be turned to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. An apostle is a fathering call. It's never been better manifest in my mind anywhere that I know of than in the ministry here at Guts Church. Your pastor, Pastor Bill, is a fathering man. And that's why there are internships, and that's why there are young people that come from everywhere, and that's why many of you are here, because there is an apostolic covering anointing on this house. That's the reason there are churches that don't know where they're going or what they're doing, because you can't just sermonize from an isolated scripture week after week and people never get built into anything because there is no family structure. It's not by accident that these new uprisings of anarchical behavior in America are opposed to patriarchal family leadership. A recent organization that's supposed to solve the problems that we have manifesting in our streets in riots raised $1.5 billion last year. But in their manifesto, it says an end needs to come to the patriarchal family. We don't need fathers anymore. We don't need husbands. We don't need a patriarchal leadership family. That's the blight of the curse on America now. We do need fathers. We do need leadership. We do need patriarchal families. We need men of God to stand up. So I'd like to ask you to do something, Bill. I know that you would never do this yourself, and you're not supposed to, but as my friend of more than 30 years, would you come and stand with me just a minute, because I want to read something that I wrote in the middle of the night a few weeks ago when I happened to be in Pittsburgh, and I wasn't sure who, where, or when, but this is your word today. This is about Bill Shear. He is an emerging apostle. He'll always be over and a part of this church, but you're going to watch a generation. See, as a man steps up into his next anointing, then it creates a vacuum that draws everybody below him into their place of anointing. If we don't move over, then no one can move up. So I want to say this about an apostle, and I'm going to apply this to your pastor. As I said, I wrote this in the middle of the night. I didn't know then who it was for. An apostle is one who is sent. He goes forth as a kingdom culture ambassador. He is wise. He has much experience. His life is in order. He prays. He understands world systems and speaks to the highest levels of power. He is understanding. He is powerful in authority. He is humble and easy to approach if your spirit is right. He brings order where there is disarray. He tends well to the responsibility of sons and daughters. His vision is broad enough to see the whole landscape, but focused enough to catch one who is falling. He is needed, but not always wanted. He is always uncomfortable in Saul's armor. He is comfortable in silence. He burns with revelation when he speaks. The church world has mostly suppressed and ignored him, not finding a way for him to fit into political hierarchy. He will arise. He has been tried. He will take his proper place. He will find honor among many worthy sons. He will finish the end of this age strong, and he will join the triumphal company in the New Jerusalem. That's what your pastor is. And I want to encourage you, Bill, that there is a need. There is a need. There is a vacuum. There is a lack. And I encourage you to step into the fullness of the anointing of an apostle that God has laid on you. And you're going to, and you have, raised up many. And I'm going to ask for a pledge from you all today. We don't have to preach for hours to talk people into something. This either resonates in your heart or it doesn't. And I'm going to tell you what blessing will be on your life. I love this verse, Bill. Next to Jesus, Abraham is probably the most important character in the Bible because he's the one that taught us the walk of faith. And let me show you where that ends up. I read this the other day and I was so blessed, I can't get it off of my mind. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1 says, "And now Abraham was old and up in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way." Is that powerful? That's where the walk of faith will lead you. The Lord will bless you in every way. You think about the ways. Are you blessed in marriage, relationship, money, property, health, vision, peace, joy? Every way, God wants you blessed. Here's how you're going to be blessed. The walk of faith is to follow the leaders God's put with you. This is not about a hierarchy or a lordship. This is about structure and apostolic power. I want to ask you, Guts Church, will you stand with your pastor and your leader and an emerging leadership apostle for the 21st century, and let's take territory and let this become an international example of apostolic leadership under the leadership God has given you at Guts Church and Pastor Bill and Sandy and the Shear family. If you feel that way, would you stand and reach your hand toward them and give them a God bless you right now? Come on, let's give them a hand clap. Would you stretch your hand toward Pastor Bill? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this man. I thank you that he's a godly man. I thank you that he's a holy man. I thank you that he's a called man. And I thank you that he willingly steps into the place and the calling and the authority that you've placed in his life. This that I've read was written for him. This fits him. This is him. And this is his season. And Bill, I bless you. I commend you. I stand with you. And everything God has put in your heart, do. What's going to happen has only been exemplified in this house. It's going to become the notice of the state and then the federal and not just other nations, but they're going to come here and say, tell us how this is done. You're going to become a voice, Bill, as never before, not just to this house, but to a nation wandering in darkness for leadership. And God has put the strength and the power and the authority and the guts in you to do it. Come on, let's give our man of God here in this house a hand.
Wow, that truck Taylor was talking about backed up again. Isn't it? Let me just tell you. I met Pastor Jeff. I'd been a Christian a couple weeks. He was the second man I met in Tulsa on the day Chelsea was born. I met Pastor Buck when he was in high school, and I was asked by a Christian school here where the pastor asked if, he said, if you've got a kid that's been kicked out of the public school, we'll take him here. And 60 kids enrolled that had been exiled from the public schools and didn't feel like they had a staff that could handle that type of teenager, and they hired me. And Buck wasn't one of them, or sometimes maybe a little bit was. But he and his family now, an incredibly dynamic church in Pittsburgh. And Pastor Mike, I'll just tell you, Pastor Mike, I remember the first time that we spoke for Mike and Kathy, they weren't there. And then he called me and invited us back. And Sandy looked at me and said, Bill, he believes in us. And I remember what came out of my mouth was, yeah, I'm not sure what there is to believe in. So he saw something that wasn't physically evident at that time. And I think about just the incredible work that God's doing in all of our lives. Locke's here, Sandy's dad. Larry and Karen Corder here. I was with them on their first date. I don't know if you can even call it a date, but he was walking her up to the front door, and I actually felt guilty because she was so innocent. I thought, oh my gosh, what? This could never happen. And then now here they are 40, I don't want to say many years later. But one of my dearest friends, one of the most incredible men I know. And you think about just in this room, just everybody here. And I just want to tell you how incredible this is, what God's doing in our lives. Don't take it for granted. The devil's going to try to get your eye off the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But I'm telling you, man, God, the work God's doing, what's happening here, I'll just tell you, it's not normal, because I get calls almost every day, and I'm not exaggerating. It's like, okay, how are you doing it? I'm like, and honestly, I don't say it, because this is how simple it is. We let God in. And that's what I encourage you to do every part of your life. I mean, I know what the Dittmans are believing God for. Just let God in. Man, just let him in. What's going on in your life? Just let God in. It was referred to earlier, he's a consuming fire. Let's let him be that.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.